Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 11th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And we will start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, and tonight's topic is the paranormal real. And to discuss that topic, we have Dr. Kelly joining us.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back.
Good to have you back, Dr. Kelly.
Yeah, I see a lot of folks in the chat room. It's kind of cool.
We were preambling before the program. I think tonight's a really hot topic, and I think a lot of people would be interested in this. And you were specifically talking about research and the paranormal, just to help us get started here.
Yeah, the topic that I chose for tonight is the paranormal real? You know, and everybody has their own opinion, of course, on it. And such, and I just wanted to talk about it because the answer is yes and no. If you're a mainstream scientist, then the paranormal is probably not real. If you're a staunch atheist, then the paranormal is not real. If you're a determinist, then the paranormal is not real. But you know, if you're the average person, well, you may have some interest, some curiosity. There are people who, of course, believe everything about it is real, and others who are more skeptical. Well, what I wanted to do, and we've discussed this in years past too, but I wanted to have a discussion on how to view the paranormal in an objective manner, in a down-to-earth manner. And the reason that I chose this is because the other night I was watching one of these programs, Paranormal Caught on Camera, I think is what it was, and I don't watch much of those anymore, but I happened to be watching this program, or at least part of it, and there was a segment where there's a family with young kids, and they're in their car, and they're videotaping this swing set. It's a swing that's just moving around erratically. They're on a beach. I don't know if it was a lake or the ocean. I don't know which. But they were on a lake, and there was the sand, and there was a swing set there. And there was this bigger seat. It's like one you might use for an infant or a very small child, you know, where you can buckle them in. It was, if it was physically bigger, it was plastic, you know, the form plastic like swing sets are. And then next to it was a normal swing set and, you know, seat. But this one was just whipping around, just waving and moving around erratically, whereas the seat next to it was almost motionless. This family is there talking about how, you know, it's a ghost. I mean, this must be the paranormal, must be a ghost doing this, because they're saying there's no wind at all. It's completely still, or still, and yet this seat is moving around erratically. And then he pans over with his phone. He pans over, and there's some trees there, some tall trees, and they are just blowing in the wind to beat everything. I mean, they're moving. The wind, it's a windy day, up the least, and that's what was moving the seat. And the seats next to it, the standard seats, are very little. They're very small in size. There's not much, you know. I don't know what the term is. I'm drawing a blank. But there's no. There's nothing to move in the wind. They're too small. But this big chair was waving erratically. And then they had the experts come on, and they're talking about this and how ghosts can do this sort of thing. And it just, I'm thinking, man, folks, I mean, okay, this is TV. It's hype. It's for entertainment. But I cannot believe that these folks these experts who got on there and discussed this, would have knowingly gone along with that. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Because it was so obvious that it was wind doing this, and everybody was ignoring that fact because they wanted to believe. And that's the problem with a lot of people, including a lot of ghost hunters. They want to believe. They want to believe so badly that they'll resort to a paranormal conclusion on very slim evidence. And that's what I wanted to kind of get at is, look, I've had some stuff happen too that I'm racking my brain trying to explain, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But not everything is paranormal. And just because you can't solve it with a natural explanation does not automatically mean that it's got a paranormal solution. And that's the thing. Just because we can't explain it doesn't mean it's paranormal. It just means we can't explain it. I mean, orbs is a perfect example. So many people, and not probably as many as it used to be, because I think people are starting to get a little bit more edumacated on it. But, you know, a lot of people think that orbs are spirits. And, you know, I wish it was true. I mean, I would love for them to be spirits. But the weight of the evidence is that it's airborne contaminants. I mean, it's just airborne contaminants. Now, if you see an orb with your naked eyes, something, you know, ball of light moving around, that could still be ball lightning. But you know what? Okay. I mean, it's just it's possible. But we're still not ready to fall on a paranormal solution yet. We need more data. Anybody want to jump in on anything?
Well, I've had that ball of light thing actually happen to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
And in fact, I think I told you about it some years back, sitting at my desk, and whoosh, and it really was this blinding ball of light, you know, flew through my room, and that was a first for me, one of those.
And see, with you, I've known you long enough so that I know when you tell me something weird happens, you know, I believe you. But it didn't. Go ahead.
I am analytical in a way because I want to know why it happens, how it happens, and you know that I'm not like off the wall in foo-foo land, I suppose.
<Not yet. laughs> But you know, but that ball lightning thing is even scientists. I mean, they're having a hard time accepting it. You know, they kind of do, but it's so rare and hard to reproduce.
Well, I think we both hear a lot of stories, and it's subjective, right? It's like you said before, if you are of this mindset, then you don't believe. If you're of that mindset, you don't believe. If you're of another mindset, you think everything is paranormal. And it's like when people tell me something like the universe sent me here, I say, well, you had to agree to it. You know, that's that we have, like, we're participating in the process. So, it's not to automatically jump to a conclusion. I very often question myself. Of course, I've had these experiences my whole life, and I know myself well enough to know when I'm like just imagining it, or it was like, you know, the little thing in the corner of your eye. It could very well be a dust particle that I saw, and not necessarily a little flash of a spirit. I remember you told a story years ago where you were sure you saw Michael.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago or something, and back when Michael was, you know, younger. You know, anyway, he had gone to work. I knew it was a Friday night. I remember this. he had gone to work, and I knew he was at work. I knew he was. And it was late afternoon. It was early evening, I guess, maybe 5 or 6, and he wasn't going to be home till later that night. So anyway, I'm coming out of my my office there at the house, and I have a view of part of the kitchen coming out. This is a house before this one, but I had a view part of the kitchen. And as I came around the corner, I saw Michael walking into the kitchen and out of my view. Just got a glimpse of him, but it was a hard, solid glimpse of him. And he was dressed in his work clothes, and he was walking, you know, and I saw I mean, it was quick, but I still saw him. It wasn't, oh, what was that? It was, I definitely saw him, and I identified it as Michael. And so, and Tracy was home at that point from work, and I walked into the kitchen. I said, you know, I was concerned, why is Michael home? You know, is he feeling okay? Is he sick? You know, what's the deal? And I heard Tracy in the kitchen too, rummaging through the freezer, probably get dinner or whatever. And I'm walking in there, and I say, is Michael okay? And she says, he's at work. I says, yeah, but I just saw him walk in the kitchen. You know, now, what was that? Was that a figment of my imagination? I don't think so. Why? Because I knew Michael was at work. I had no intention of seeing him there. That was something that was, you know, that I didn't mistake. And it was long enough. It wasn't just a you know, peripheral thing. It was dead on. And so it was, you know, it was a manifestation. It was a, whatever
well,
you call this.
It was something that your brain filed as it must be Michael.
And it's possible it wasn't Michael, but it looked like him. You know, it was him, and he was tall and all that. And so, you know, how do I explain that? Well, that was funky. I mean, it was, I don't know how else to explain it, because now I'm seeing an apparition of sorts. Was it, you know, but was it a ghost? Well, Michael's not a ghost. So what was it? Was it a residual, you know, residual energy? Was it, you know, the universe, multi-universe thing, you know, overlapping? Now, those are speculations, you know, and this is going way down a limb. I don't know what it was. I don't know. But it was interesting. And, you know, there was no spookiness to it or anything. It was just, that's what happened. Now,
but you've been on several paranormal investigations, though. What, if you don't mind sharing with us, what other kinds of unusual experiences did you have in a group, or that you feel is okay, questionable to being good data?
Well, there's several things. One that comes to mind, and I was talking about this earlier, is we were on an investigation in Colorado back in 08. It was a high profile case that we had taken on and through Paranexus, and so we were at the house, at the home of the person, and it was a family, and anyway, so it was one afternoon, we were there, and I happened to be sitting at the kitchen table. It was not a huge kitchen, but it was a kitchen table, and then to my right was an island, you know, in the kitchen with a stove on it, and then beyond that was the kitchen sink, you know, and countertops and all the stuff you'd have in the kitchen. And so I'm at the table. The rest of the group and the family that lived there were all out in the backyard just visiting. And they had a 14-year-old son, and he came walking by me. I was talking on Skype with the late Dusty Smith. She's a paranormal investigator, was here in Florida. Anyway, I was talking on Skype with her, and the son comes walking by me on my right, between me and the island in the kitchen, and he goes to the sliding glass door straight ahead, and looking right at it, you know, visiting with Dusty and looking right at the door. He opens the door, cracks open the door, pops his head out, and asks his dad a question or mom a question or something. And then all of a sudden I begin to hear some noise, and he pulls his head back in and just looks at me like dumbfounded. And I look at him and I says, "What's that noise?" And he looks over at the sink, and the water turned on. The water's on. There's nobody in the kitchen. I'm right there. The water turned on by itself. So I'm looking at them thinking, wow, what could cause this? I went over to the sink and I turned it off. Had two knobs, one for cold, one for hot. And the cold water was on, you know, about halfway. I mean, it was on pretty good. It wasn't just trickling. It was on pretty good. And I looked under the sink. I didn't see any kind of apparatus or any mechanism that could have been used to hoax that. I don't know what caused that. Now, was it a ghost? Well, it could have been. Was it some other elaborate hoax? It could have been. I mean, we actually stopped doing that investigation because their credibility started to go down the toilet because of some stuff. So could it have been a hoax, or what? You know, well, we got to go back to Occam's razor, right? Barring complete evidence or information, the simplest explanation is likely the correct one. So in that case, and the fact that I know that this fellow had fabricated some evidence later on, you know what? It's probably a hoax, but it was really cool at the time, you know.
Yeah, those things are kind of cool. Michael, do you have any experiences that you want to share or questions that you might have?
You know, I can't say that I've ever had experiences when it comes to the paranormal, really. I think I might have talked about this one time in my grandparents' home in St. Louis. I thought I saw a middle-aged gentleman out of the corner of my eye, and you know, kind of linen suit, out of fashion, you know, kind of a Art Deco era. Then I looked, and there was nothing there. But that's kind of the closest thing I have to an actual sighting of anything. And when it comes to things like this, I think it's a good reminder to keep an open mind and to realize the total sum of human knowledge is but a small sliver of a small fraction of the total amount of knowledge there is in existence. And there are just so many things we don't know yet when it comes to events like this. They're simply unexplainable to us in this moment in time.
And but do you think being open-minded to it makes someone a little more susceptible to seeing it? Or are we just looking for it, making it up? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like if you want to see it, do you see it?
People see what they want to see in a lot of cases, but if it's a grounded mind and a reasonable mind, I think that you know, what you see should have an impact on you know, how you would think about that subject, Dr. Kelly.
And that's what I have said for years, you know. Mm-hmm. Have an open mind, just not so open your brains fall out, as the expression goes, you know. And don't forget, you know, the late, or he's not even late, he's 95 now, Peter Sturrock. He's the professor emeritus of Stanford University, and he wrote a book back in 2000, The UFO Enigma, A New Review of the Physical Evidence. And he talks about, it's a good book, you should, if you're into that, you should get it. The UFO Enigma, Peter Sturrock. He talked about this question that he asked when doing any kind of scientific analysis. And the question is, what are the facts and what are those facts trying to tell us? And you keep asking that question over and over again. What are the facts and what are those facts trying to tell us? Now, you may not always be able to answer it, but you got to keep that objective mind. And you have to continue to try to look for strong points of agreement. Now, there can be weak or strong points of agreement with different phenomena, and it helps to be able to do that, like orbs, you know. Well, a weak point of agreement is that they're spirits, because the strong points of agreement are that they are airborne contaminants, which we can fabricate or reproduce, I should say, at will. So, but could it be, I mean, could a spirit be an orb on a picture? Could it happen? Yes, it could happen. It's plausible. But the problem with that is that because orbs are so, they're everywhere, they're so, you know, they're everywhere. How can you ever identify one that's a spirit? So we don't even go there. Screw it. You know, I'm not going to try to prove that this orb is a spirit because it's so easy to disprove it. So I'm looking for other evidence, you know. And
well, Kim just made a comment in the chat, if I can introduce this, that her and a friend alone in a house, they wake up and hear something in the kitchen. Then she smells bacon and coffee, and they're the only ones there. But she felt that it was her her grandmother.
Yeah.
And that's a huge experience. I hear this a lot, especially with smells. Mm-hmm. I go to my friend Susan. I often dog sit or house sit for them. And there's this really bold cigar pipe smell that comes through now and again. Mm-hmm. And I had one night I'd just gone to bed, and I'm going to sleep, and suddenly I can smell that right beside the bed. Now, I can't see anything, whatever, but I could smell this very pungent pipe smell. And so I kind of opened my eyes. I said, well, it's nice that you're visiting. Are you just passing through? And it lasted probably 10 minutes and then wafted away. So, of course, I told my friend Susan, I said, your pipe guy was here again. She goes, yeah, he's been around a lot lately, but that's all we get is the smell. And it's nobody, of course, it's a non-smoking house. You know, there's no other elements in the house that could indicate that. So it's just this random experience.
So that kind of that's very similar to when I thought I saw Michael going into the kitchen. I mean, these kinds of things can happen. Now, is it possible to hypnotize somebody and tell them that they can smell bacon? Yeah, and they'll smell it, you know. But, you know, is that feasible? I mean, is it because, you know, somebody's mind is doing it? Well, you know what? Well, that's a stretch, too.
I'd like to add, you know, some points that Dr. Matten made in chat involve quantum entanglement and kind of going at it in that sense of this is simply science we don't understand yet kind of way. Is it that there was actually an aura created in the, you know, in the air, or is it that something entangled with that person's mind to make it the aroma come? And does does that somehow make it any less of an experience if that entanglement still happened?
So that's a good point.
Yep.
And another thought is that we exist in space-time, and are we at moments seeing echoes of the past, or perhaps, you know, some...
Yeah, residuals
from the past, or even, you know, something ahead of us in space-time that just, you know, syncs up in a certain way of perception.
See, all these things are possible,
that's,
you know, but...
Fun speculation.
It is, but, you know, then we start to go way, way, way out on a limb. And so we come back to the question, is the paranormal real? Well, yes. Is everything you hear about on TV real? No. And there are too many groups out there, specifically ghost hunters, you know, who want so badly to believe that they'll call a paranormal solution with very little evidence. And there's so much superstition, you know, like Ouija boards and all that stuff. And, you know, oh, it can hurt you. No, it can't. You know, and that's, don't even get me started. Spirits cannot hurt you. And, you know, there's other explanations too for stuff that move around, like the water turning on. That could have been the kid walking through. He was 14. He was probably prime example of an agent for RSPK, right? For recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. You know, that's what people call, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. You know what they are? The noisy ghosts. What are they called?
I'm gonna say banshee here, but
no, it's common. Oh, it's just my age catching up with me. This is the kind of thing. So you guys go ahead and say it, and when you're done,
I think what you're saying though is that some forms of telekinesis. That's right. Some forms of telekinesis is possible. The mind can project an energy into an activity. And I think that's been proven somewhat, again, proven meaning repeatable, you know, but then people question the repetitiveness of the circumstance because the environment makes a difference too. You know, everything has to be exact for it to be a repeatable science. And I think a lot of time we can't. I think that, I'm with you that, you know, ghosts can't hurt you. I mean, it depends, but I think things can move around and you better get your head out of the way.
Oh, I agree. But now the question is it a ghost or is it a human agent?
Exactly.
For RSPK, which is what the evidence would suggest.
Yeah.
You know, that some people, not everybody, but some people who are going through a hard time, difficulties in life, serious emotional stuff going on, especially if they're, you know, an adolescent girl or, but it doesn't have to be an adolescent girl. It can be anybody. You know, that can result in things moving around, which is a far easier explanation than ghosts. Because if ghosts could move things, don't you think we'd be seeing all kinds of stuff going on in this world? If ghosts or spirits could actually possess somebody, don't you think that we would see everywhere?
Oh, that's what's wrong with everybody.
That's the there you go. Okay, I stand corrected. Everybody possessed.
I had to throw that in.
Well, I mean, there's so many unknowns when you think about it, too, because just do the numbers. I mean, right now there are over 7 billion, going on 8 billion people on this planet. How many have passed? How many ghosts would there be, even from the last 200 years? Yeah. How many billions of spirits would there be? And then, of course, you know, the idea goes that, you know, a portion we'll move on to a different plane of existence. Maybe some are held here for various reasons, etc. But I will say this, anything is possible because existence is infinite and we don't know hardly anything at all about it. The other thing I would say is sometimes I like to have fun thought experiments. I like to wildly speculate. So, you know, I see that stately gentleman in the linen suit in St. Louis, Missouri, kind of a old Southern gentleman's type vibe. I think it could be a ghost, sure, but I also think it could be an interdimensional alien that's, you know, zapping images into my brain just to have a good laugh. Or, you know, it could be any number of things, but when you don't know, you don't know. And then it becomes, well, what is the practical application of this knowledge? I would agree that, largely, if spirits can be proven to exist, well, I don't think they can be proven to intentionally harm human beings.
Right.
So then,
I see it much as people, to be honest. Like there's people, and I interact with them much like people. It's like I don't like you, go away. how do I say? I think at some level of dimensional existence, the spirit or soul, however we want to see that, has a certain expression, much like the people we know. So I think, and again, I'm very careful to say this because I think, as Michael just inferred too, there's many levels of existence beyond what we know as this physical world. And we can't know it. There's no evidence for it, but we speculate that. I like to believe that. That's my take on it. But it's like, let's just say some bad spirit comes in and, you know, and I say, oh, please go away, you know, or come in for tea because it's like moth to a light. You know, I'm not afraid. So they don't usually come in. You know, they get zapped. It's kind of how that goes.
So let's build on that. And I'll finish up my part of the, the thing with this, because there's a lot of good things that are coming. And so how do we view all this? How do we view the paranormal? Yes. So, you know, can strange things happen? Yes. We've talked about some of them. And I think that something that Michael had mentioned, what's the practical application or practical value of this? If, you know, there have been times I've been sitting here and I had the distinct feeling that there was somebody here with me. And sometimes it might have been my dad, it might have been Thomas Francis, my, you know, alleged guide, and whatever, you know. But I wondered, and I talked to him just like I would talk to anybody. Were they there? I don't know. But I got such a weird feeling about it, and just out of the blue, that I felt like there might be something to it. But what is that? You know, it got me thinking about my dad or Thomas Francis, which then leads to questions on existence and the universe and all that stuff. So take from it. You know, it's like pennies from heaven, right? You know, the old thing. Mm. You see a penny on the floor, on the ground, and it makes you think of a dead loved one. And that's all. It brings them to mind. So that's fine. But then there are those times when things we might see some. I mean, Dr. Irwin, who wrote the EVP course and one of the top EVP people in the world, you know, she's moved on a little bit from that. But a few years ago, her dad died. And she told me, and it really was very sad for her. It was a bad thing for her. Anyway, she was at home, and he came, you know, after he died, he came there and walked through her house and basically saying goodbye, and she saw him, and she's one of the most level-headed, down-to-earth people I've ever known, and that's in Australia. And so those kinds of things can happen, and so that's what it is for you. But don't ever worry about ghosts hurting you or spirits hurting you. They can't. They're impotent when it comes to that. And spirits are just like people. They are people. Some are good and some are not so nice, you know. But regardless of what they might want to do, they can't hurt you. And you have to remember boundaries. So if you have a spirit, just like Dr. Vicky was talking about, you know, oh, hello, you're passing through. Of course, she has more, she can dial into them a little better than most of us. But, you know, if they're there and you don't want them there, or you don't know who they are, or they're bothering you, kids, whatever, you respectfully but firmly insist that they leave. This is your house, that they're not invited. Move on. And you don't need to get freaky. You don't need to get freaked out, scared, nothing. Just, they're just people.
You know, if I could inject a quick story, only a couple of months ago, talked to a young mom who is having concerns about her 9-year-old who was really afraid, and she felt like there were spirits and spirits visiting in her dreams and having nightmares. And so she asked me, "What? I don't know how to handle this, and I don't doubt that there could be a spirit here. I don't know." And I said, "Well, it's really easy. You empower your child, and this is, it works every time. Give them the most vulgar swear words, then permission to use them. And say, you know, when they wake up from a nightmare or something's bothered them, you just say, off or something." And it empowers a child in their own private way, in their own energy, that nothing can hurt you. So it's kind of like giving permission in that way, which you wouldn't want them to talk like, mm-hmm. you know, in daytime at school, like you get in trouble for that. But it's that empowerment to be powerful, to say no. Because mm-hmm. just to say no, you know, very often there's a difference between no, go away, and no, go away. See, that energy. And that's what you empower a child with. And sure enough, calm down. You know, that's mm-hmm. it just worked that quickly. Empowerment. Yeah.
There's a question about, you know, spirits, can they possess furniture, paintings, etc.? And let's just talk about that from a reasonable, rational point of view. Mm. If you, or when you move on, when you pass on, tell me, are you going to want to worry about haunting a painting, a couch? Are you going to want to worry about or get involved with haunting a cemetery where you're buried or your body was buried or whatever? You know, are you going to want
to
do that
stuff? I've got a few people to take care of.
Well, and I'm just thinking to myself, I know quite a few people that would probably enjoy just – a lot of people just enjoy pranking and messing with other people. It's very fun for them.
And, you know, and yeah, that's been offered up before. But, you know, really, you know, and – I mean, when I was Jehovah's Witness, there were so many stories. It was all the folklore, you know. I went to a garage sale and I bought this nice painting and it was demonized, you know, and took it home and we had all this stuff happen. Mm. I mean, my own mom, you know, there was a couple of times she was having a Bible study with some person who, oh my Lord, had mental problems. She was in, you know, drinking and drugs. And while she's doing this Bible study, the picture flies off the wall and almost hits her. So they figure it's demonized. So they take it out in the back, you know, and they're burning it. And while they're burning it, it screams. My own mother tells me this. And, you know, of course, at the time, I think, oh, my God, you know, it was a demon. Now, Mom, really? You got to be kidding me. What would the point be, really? You know, what would the point be? And so we have to, again, don't let these TV shows or anything get you hyped up, because most of that stuff does not happen.
True.
Anyway.
One thing I'll say to anybody that's scared of the paranormal or afraid of spirits or afraid of the spiritual world is that the material world is far, far, far more terrifying than the spiritual world would ever possibly be. I mean, don't be afraid of ghosts. Be afraid of the, you know, all the other things that actually can happen all the time.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I say that all the time. Spirits don't scare me. People do.
Yeah. People can kill you. Spirits can, maybe at most, can startle you, but that's it.
It's almost a fun distraction from the actual terrors of the wreck of the world.
Ghosts. We got to deal with terrorists.
And mortgages.
Yeah. That too. What a great talk tonight. Thanks for coming back and joining us tonight, Dr. Kelly.
Bet.
Yep. You know, it's always good to have you back. It's fun.
It is. Yeah. It's good to be back.
Fun.
And every now and again, we'll let you come back and do some more great topics, you know, when we feel like it.
Well, maybe you'd like to stick around while we maybe draw some cards for people. Do we want to do what we did before, Michael?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Is that okay with you, Dr. Kelly, an inner oracle card with a supporting tarot card?
Oh, yeah, you guys can do that. I have a matter I have to attend to, but
all right.
You go ahead, and I wanted to wish everybody who's listening happy holidays and all that coming up, and it's good to see everyone here and keep on doing good. And I also wanted to quickly tell our students, thanks for being students at our schools, and keep on going, and if you need any help, don't hesitate to reach out. Shoot us an email, give us a call. We'll help you out. So good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Kelly.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, that was a great talk, Michael. I enjoyed that a lot.
It was good. And, yeah, I think it was added to very much by the discussion in chat, which is why it's always nice when people, when they have the time to be able to make it to the live broadcast, because you get to kind of be a part of that community, which is fun. I know I enjoy it, so thank you. And, you actually read my mind, about the cards, because I thought that would be a great idea for tonight, too. So, if you'd like, I'll pull one from the inner oracle deck, and then a supporting card from the tarot, or vice versa. How do you want to do it?
That's fine. You pick one, and then I'll pick one.
All right. So, I need to look through. Okay, I think we have Sherry first.
We do.
All right.
I see that. I'm trying to write names madly here, too, to keep up. So,
all right, well.
Go for it.
First up, wild card number 5, don't hate.
Ooh. I got that one last time.
A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. It grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others.
Well, now for that, in support of that, I got the 4 of clubs. And to me, in a word, that's promises or obligations or commitments. And I'm just transing this, I'm getting a little intuition here, Sherry. So if you feel like you've at risk of being betrayed or at risk of being disappointed in a commitment not being met, this is just a reinforcement to take the high road, I think. That's what I'm getting there. So I hope that makes sense to you. Feedback in the chat would be great. So that's kind of my feel. So we have Kim up next. Michael, I think.
All right. Yeah, I think so. And let's see, I have number 22, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, now, in support of that, Kim, I got the Eight of Hearts, and that, to me, can mean unknown territory. It's like walking in the dark. I call it sometimes one of the back cards where you only have your intuition or your radar. And you, so it's like you could be in unfamiliar emotional territory, if I can say that. It doesn't have to be, oh, I've come to a place I don't know. It can be, oh, I've never experienced this before. So this is reinforcing to you to stay in touch with yourself. Like stay intact and think for yourself. Be clear and let that intuition or good instincts guide you while you're in unknown territory. So I hope that makes sense. And thanks for the feedback, Sherry. You should say it was a perfect message. So glad to hear that. So I think Dr. Rosado is now, I think that's who we have up. I hope I say that right. I'm so sorry if I have messed it up, but I'm going to say Rosado. What have you got, Michael?
And I have number 38, open-mindedness.
Ooh, good one.
An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Good card.
It is. And the supporting card to that, Dr. Rosado, is the Eight of Clubs. And to me, that can often mean haste, fast action. So I think what this is saying in conjunction with what Michael's talked about from the inner oracle card in the open-mindedness is if you feel the need to push the pause button, don't hesitate to do that as things are going quickly. It's if you feel like you don't have enough information and things are moving really fast and it's busy and your kind of demands put on you, just push the pause button. Just say, I need a moment. So I think that's the message there, that there's great strength in pushing the pause button. It doesn't mean you have to leave it for a week. It can just mean 30 seconds sometimes when things are going. So it's just to, again, being open-minded to your own intuition and knowing when to stop and knowing when to go forward. So that's what I think. Hope that makes sense.
All right.
So, Michael, we have Dr. Edward up next.
All right. And for Dr. Edward, I'm going to try to pull one that I haven't pulled before for him. I'm going to do some repeats.
Ooh.
See what it is today. Number 9, empowerment.
Oh, good one.
Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Wow, and I got the Two of Hearts here in support of that, which is everything to do with partnering. And so I would say my interpretation to this is certainly giving the best of yourself forward, but also giving the best of yourself to you. So, and he's saying that does resonate. So that's great. So that empowerment is knowing to stay intact in who you are and still being able to partner in who somebody else is, but to bring the best things forward. So I'm really being a little bit redundant, but that's what the Two of Hearts is. So I think it's a great support card. So it's just a little reminder. And I think that, honestly, my guess here, my sense, is that that's exactly what you are doing. So a reinforcement to you, Dr. Edward. Well, we have Wendy next, Michael.
All right. And for Wendy, I pulled number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, now, Wendy, your support card to that's the Eight of Diamonds, and the Eight of Diamonds, to me, is education while you're working. So it's like, think of it as an apprenticeship. And in this case, it might be apprenticeship to life. You know, when you have to keep going, but you're learning as you go. So that insight and wisdom is knowing where to place yourself and where to place your energy so that you can keep learning. So it's that delicate balance. Think of it kind of like being a, you know, somebody's going into the trades, you know, you're getting paid while you learn. It's kind of like that in what I'm seeing here is the rewards are coming to you while you're learning on the job. And that does apply to life. So there's a lot of learning going on, a lot of study, and you're having to sometimes think new things. And that's a great exercise for you while you are gaining wisdom. I like it. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see that. And I think Dr. Matt is next. Well, we got a good crowd here tonight. Thanks, guys. It's great.
It's been great. Lively discussion tonight. And, all right, Matt, I pulled number 15, Belief System Knowledge Base. I think we might have pulled this one last week, too.
Yes.
We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Well, Matt, and I got the Ace of Hearts for you on that, and that has everything to do with, I tell you, my first instinct to say, you could be redefining what you believe is love, simply, and fulfillment, and put that, stretch that into all areas of your life, but quite simply, what is love to you? What is your knowledge base? What's your experience? What are your belief systems about love and loving humanity, perhaps? And what is a loving experience? And, you know, so he's writing in the chat. It's one of his favorite cards, a real key in counseling and perfect support card. That's great. Thanks. So I think that what you're doing is rethinking some of these things and digging deep to see love in a new way. And he says, that's right on. That's great. I love that feedback, guys. That's super because this is, you know, really it's not only the meaning of the card, but it's every card of the tarot can have multiple meanings. I go to a root and then I intuitively feel my way, especially in light of what Michael has just brought forward. And I said, how does that fit? And so I've got a three-ring circus going on here, like a triangle, whoever the individual is, Michael, and then where I'm coming from. So I think in this case, Matt, you're just rethinking things. I think we always do that. I think we often are rethinking what makes me fulfilled, what do I need, simply what are my boundaries, being more open-minded to, I think, even not non-judgment or, you know, we change our ideas in our mind very often in life. So as we grow and learn, so I think that's what that is. So have I missed anybody, Michael? Anybody else in there? We went pretty fast, so.
We did. I don't think so. And.
All right.
Well, if we did, I would certainly expect a strongly worded letter, and we deserve it.
Yeah.
But well, it's been a great talk tonight, you know, and it's gone by so fast, which all the good ones do, and that's the best part is they're all great conversations. So they all go by fast, but we could keep talking for hours.
I know. Well, you know, everyone, I want to make a little point that tomorrow is the last full moon of a decade. Think about that. The last full moon of 2019 is tomorrow, 12/12, and we are ending 2019. It's the end of a decade. So I just thought, hey, you know, that's really kind of interesting. The last full moon of a decade. So I like full moons, and I like moon cycles, and I like Yuletide that's coming up. And Michael and I are brainstorming a little bit about maybe talking next week about Yuletide traditions, celebrations, and maybe bringing forth some ideas. What do people do on their own solstice? Because it'll be just days before. And then, as Michael said last week, we'll be taking a little break because of where the program would fall. It's right on those celebration days for other folks. So, and into the new year. So we'll be back the first Wednesday in January. So I hope you'll all join us next week and bring your questions and your suggestions and some things that you have shared in your life and what's traditional in your family. That would be great discussion.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fantastic discussion. I'd love everybody to join and bring those stories because, you know, it's so varied are all the traditions around this time of year.
Yeah, there.
I'm looking forward to that, you know, kind of more holiday-esque discussion.
And I'll bring a few little tips from my Scandinavian Sami background. So
that's going to be interesting.
The indigenous way of doing things. So just what I have reinforced in my family. So I'll be sharing that with a few folks next
week. Well, I'm really going to look forward to it. So we'll be back next week. And, of course, until then, listen, learn, grow, and love. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.